This is The Platform Rules, digital transformation for product companies, hosted by Propel Software. Welcome back to The Platform Rules. We've been hard at work putting together a brand new lineup packed with industry trends and expertise, and most importantly, real stories of digital transformation success. We'll drop a new episode every other Wednesday, so stay with us to learn how to evolve your business to keep up with the modern market. Now, join guests Beth LeClerc and Angie Larson from Savant Systems, a leader in premium smart home products and parent of GE Lighting. Find out how Savant uses technology and innovation to disrupt a 100-year-old market. Without further ado, here's your host, Dario.
Angie, Beth, thank you so much for hosting me here at your booth.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, appreciate it. Lots of goodies here. Savant has just some really, really amazing home automation products. So can you just give us a little bit of background about what the company does and what your products do?
Yeah, absolutely. Quick light background. Savant's known in the kind of smart home space and the smart home industry as really a technology platform that's bringing all kinds of subsystems together under one roof. Right, so whether you have lighting, or you have music, or you have shades, or what have you, kind of bringing all those technology platforms into one sort of easy to use, easy to consume experience. And that's really kind of, you know, what we do out in the industry. And we're just really focused on redefining the smart home as things evolve. So we've been in this space for 20 plus years. And, you know, we started with our background as how to maximize an entertainment experience. And we've added to it how to add things like infrastructure with climate, with lighting, with shade control. And now, you know, we're really on the next frontier, which is the smart power side of the market. And how can we really take the infrastructure of the whole home and just make the experience better?
Okay. So lots of innovation, fast moving, hardware plus software.
Yes.
And different products that need to be compatible, forward and backward compatible with each other over time. Very complex. I'm gonna simplify by just saying complex. So what we really wanna dig into with this session here is, Beth, you're on the IT side. Mm-hmm. And Andrew, you're on the business side. So how do the two of you work together to make sure that what you're delivering, Beth, is what you need, Angie, to manage the business? So let's dig into a little bit of that. I think maybe, Angie, can we start with some of the business needs that you need to solve, and then we can work back to how you work with Beth to get there?
Yeah, I think absolutely. You know, one of the things that you identified, right, is we've got a vast repertoire of products and hardware that need to be serviced, supported, you know, be able to, like you said, be upgraded or updated and have that part of our model. So there's the product side, but there's also the business side of what customers do we sell to, and are we selling direct to the consumer, or are we selling through a resale model because a certain product or product category requires professional installation. So there's a whole sales channel side of the business, and then there's also service and supportability, and what we've got out in terms of service and support, and again, what products are you service and supporting, but also what channels are you doing that in. So from the business side, there's a lot of different things at play, and we rely heavily, you know, on our IT team, if I want to call it that, right, to really help us manage all of those pieces.
Yeah, so if you think about a product, you know, I know, you know, traditionally people think about settings like, you know, dimensions, weight, you know, cost, stuff like that. We tend to extend the way we think about product far beyond attributes of those manners. So we use a platform like Propel to help us understand how we as a business categorize that product, what business segments it's available to, how we're paying people on that product. And so some of the centralized information that makes its way into a, you know, Propel and into a, our PLM is not typical lifecycle management attributes all the time. We actually put a lot of importance in understanding and setting product category, who's it available to business segment wise on the product at its inception, so that as we sell it, develop it, manufacture it, whatever we're doing with it, the end goal of supporting it is also in the vision. And so that product, we have an understanding about the skill set that a tech support agent would potentially need to be able to pick up the phone and support that product. So it's a very holistic approach. Angie and I have been lucky enough to work together a long time, and Savant has always put value in the IT and business applications and infrastructure relationship being at the same table as all the important strategic projects that we have. IT's always been a factor in those conversations and those projects.
So when you say IT is at the table, I mean, is that driven by the business side, Angie? Is it the business saying IT needs to be here? Or is this, Beth, is this you saying, hey, you need to make room for me here because otherwise you all are not going to get it right? Like, how does that work?
Let's say it maybe started as, hey, I need to be here, and it's now I'm here, I think is what we grew.
Yeah, I think we grew. And as you evolve, like, you know, we've talked a little bit about our product innovation, and that's pretty cool, but we also focus a lot on business tool innovation, because, you know, when we think about a smart home platform, sometimes the products are made to order, sometimes they're custom, sometimes they're, you know, so there's all kinds of different things that take place in a smart home, you know, environment in the residential space. And so being able to have business systems to manage from a simple widget that we can ship out in a 1 day turn to something we have to custom make in a 4 week turn, and being able to manage all of those things, the idea of innovation across our business tools became really important to us. And delivering that visibility, not only internally across all the different departments that we need to see that, but even to our customer base, to understand what they've ordered, where it's at. Beth likes to call it our pizza tracker.
Pizza tracker?
Pizza tracker. She likes to call it our pizza tracker, right? Meaning, where's my pizza, right?
Domino's will tell you, is it being prepped? Is it in transit? Did it get delivered?
And you're showing that level of visibility to the business?
Absolutely. Okay.
And our customer.
And
our customer.
And your customer, okay.
Yeah. Right?
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? On the customer side.
You know, we err on the side of visibility. Yes. Okay. We err on the side of visibility. So, you know, we've built in, I call it simple. What I call simple is never simple. But built in simple things like, you know, preemptive notifications that, hey, we thought this thing was going to ship on May 7th, but instead it's going to ship on May 8th. And the reason that we are so kind of highly exposing that data is because they may have an installer waiting on the job site to put that in.
Okay.
Right? And so it's not just that came tomorrow instead. Oops. It's more of a, hey, I may have had somebody that traveled to a site waiting for that product, and I need to let them know that they need to reschedule that install for a day or two. So it's kind of business critical.
Yep.
And so
yep.
we err on the side of visibility.
So in that example you just gave, you know, walk us through, how did that come about? Is this something where, Beth, you're like, hey, did you know we could do this? Or is this more on the business side, there's a pain point from our customers, Beth, can you help me solve it?
I would say it's probably a good mix of both. I think some of the benefits of working under visionary leadership and visionary product and evolving technologies has empowered employees really across the company to be forward thinking. So I would say there are things that, you know, sometimes we come up with that we are like, hey, let's try this, and the business readily accepts it, empowers us to give them a proof of concept and deliver. We spend a lot of time investing in resources, sort of understanding more than just the task at hand. So if I use the, you know, developers who work on these business applications, they don't just write code. They're invested in understanding what we're delivering, why we're delivering it, who we're delivering it to, and everything that makes up that project. So I think some of that has led them to understand a customer's needs, even though they may have never spoken to a customer themselves. And then there's the...
Well, the opposite, which is, you know, Beth and all, actually your senior leadership, they attend all of our sales meetings, which is maybe unique for an IT team to spend time in our sales meetings, and what we consider, like you said, that greater customer or business, you know, reviews. Yeah. And so, you know, sometimes we will joke together like, gosh, am I wasting your time? And Beth assures me, you're not wasting my time. I want to see the way that you're presenting this, whether it's to our group of sales representatives or whether it's to our customer service team or our resellers. You know, I want to see how you're presenting this. And so often she'll take kind of those insights and be able to come back to us and say, hey, that spreadsheet that you showed our whole sales team, what if I could automate that and be able to give some analytics? And I think that's one of the key things that has been part of this good partnership is, you know, the ability for Beth to see, hey, there's data, and there's the advantage of having a lot of data at your fingertips. And then there's data analytics and trying to understand what the data is telling you. And so we got a little lost in our power. We got a little, you know, we had so much power to have so much data at our fingertips. And I think a lot of companies are in that boat right now where it's the data is plentiful. It's what is it telling you? And what should I do?
Too many subjective, you know, deductions being made from it and everything. So we've taken an aggregated approach and we deliver the data that the company holistically looks at.
And when you say we, you mean specifically your IT team?
Okay. And so then the company is all looking at the same thing and we're all speaking the same source of truth. And so we're able to, you know, make business decisions, you know, based off of that data.
So it sounds like you're embedding yourself or your team in the business and seeing the day-to-day and then coming back with this is a centralized process that we are recommending and then getting buy-in. Is that a fair way to describe it?
Oh, yeah, I say absolutely. And also there's just magic in the team, right? You know, because we can say, hey, what if I want to know this? Because you're not only dealing with the data in a company like ours, you're not only dealing with the business data, which is certainly a huge component.
Absolutely.
How many tech support calls are we getting? What's our revenue? Think of all the data. How many product SKUs are we managing? How many bombs? What's the bomb level? I mean, the vast amount of data that we're managing from a business level, but we're also managing a vast amount of data from our installation base, right? And so now you're starting to look at, what are the trends? What are system sizes that we're selling? How come X system is being sold with this product and Y system isn't? And what do we need to do to understand that base? So we're not only dealing with business data, we're dealing with product and installation data. And so to mix those things together is...
Yeah, and we actually add on, I would say, on top of that is user behavior, again, internal and external. So we pay attention to where employees are clicking, how long it takes them to do something. Right. Is somebody logging in and using this? Are they not using it? It's same thing with the customers. What does their, you know, behavior look like, whether it's in our e-com platform or our dealer communities and stuff? So we kind of take all of that and holistically look at it and mesh it all together. And you know, a platform like Propel makes it easy for us to do that. And it's so essential to the decision making that we, you know, do as a company, and it helps drive things. There's a ton of projects though that start with the business coming up with the idea and we get told what we have to do. We just may tweak it and say, well, how about we do this?
So Beth, we were laughing about it earlier, right? Which is, hey, tell me what you're looking for and then I'll tell you how the system can deliver that, right? And so we tend to speak at that, here's my business need, and have the IT team come in and say, here's the best way to solve that.
Yeah, we have been very lucky that the users at Savant have sort of caught on to the don't bring me a solution, we'll provide you a solution. And they've really gotten better at telling us what their end goal is and trusting that we're the group of people that will bring them the right, you know, technology, application, solution, whatever it is for their need. Okay. There's a lot of trust.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like a couple of third rails I want to avoid touching here, but overall it does seem like a very, very strong partnership between the two groups. I want to chat a little bit about something you described earlier. You mentioned some of the unified process flow that you have going back and forth between teams, where you can see a product that's sold, if the end user has been trained or if the distributor has been trained, and then you know what to send them and just how it flows. Again, it was just a back and forth, very unified process. That, in my historical, just from what I've seen from other people, can be very difficult to do because each team wants to use their own system. They want to use the solution as they see fit, but you've got this great flow back and forth. How are you able to do that? Is that a top-down driven? Is it a user driven? Is it a, I guess just how do you deliver that?
Jeez. So I would say that we have, over the years, we have at a management level been in places where we've all been able to agree that there's certain things that are important that we need when it comes to a product and how we look at that product that, again, isn't just typical attribute or spec-based type of information. So I would say that we heavily invested in, and it took a little while, you know, we ideally, simplicity for me is going to be better. So I'll try to always steer the business into, you know, as few of options or whatever as we can, but we've had to grow over time. So we take something like a product and we decide as a group what category it fits in. And that would start as part of the lifecycle management evolution of that product. As soon as we know that we're going to build it or resell it or what have you, we make a decision about how it fits into the business. And we kind of go from there, I would say.
Yeah, and I'd say, like, you know, two comments there as well. As I think in some cases it's top down, mostly because the demand is to be nimble. And if the demand is to be nimble, because being a leader in the smart home space necessitates that you bring things to market quickly, and then you bring those things to market quickly, and then you evolve them over time. So we don't get to bring a product to market and then sit on it for a 3 to 5 year life cycle, right? We bring the product to market and then it gets to evolve in its feature set over time. So I'd say, from a top-down model, a lot of it is driven by the necessity of speed to market and it being in that smart home space. So I'd say that's one piece of it. I'd say the other piece of it, is really, I'm going to point to Beth personally, is, you know, as an IT leader in our business, she really started at different departments and different teams in our business. And so, you know, our leadership at the IT level has been on the customer service side. You have been on the accounting side. And so I feel like sometimes you've sort of felt the pain. And so you've been able to take that sort of knowledge, I think in a really good way, and help see how we could tie that together. And I don't think you have that in all IT departments.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it comes back, I feel like, to trust, so that sometimes if we're gonna go to market with that product and, you know, we recommend something, there is a level of trust there because the business knows that, you know, to Angie's point, well, maybe that's her purchasing hat that's recommending that, or, you know, and that makes the most sense for this product, or maybe it's her customer service hat. And I don't think companies, I think we get a little bit too stuck on when somebody does something well, we wanna, you know, maybe ignore the fact that a person could do a lot of things well. Just because somebody does purchasing well doesn't mean that they're going to not do something else well. And so we really, I think the business fosters an approach, you know, for expanding our horizons professional growth wise and allowing us, if we want to take chances, or there may just be a need that, you know, somebody needs to be moved to another department for whatever reason. And I think that we just do that naturally at Savant, and it ends up helping with this, you know, sort of full circle holistic approach that we have and the connectivity that we have between us.
Okay. That's good. I have not seen that in an IT leader before, where you've got direct experience on the business side with some of the groups that you're helping. So I can see where there's value there. One of the things you mentioned, Angie, is that your products evolve over time. But so does your IT system, right? Your solutions. All right, did I touch another third rail
here? Good, yeah, I love it.
So
over time.
or the very next day.
Yeah.
So how does that process work again? Is this user-driven? Like, I really wish the system could do this. Is it IT-driven? Like, you all should be doing this. Like, how do you manage that process from an internal system perspective?
You know, again, I think it's a little bit of both, but I think, you know, a lot of times we are seeing, hey, you know, I wish we had access to, you know, XYZ, right? And being able to work with, you know, our IT team, our cloud team, all the kind of teams that participate in being able to say, yeah, we can serve that up. Here's how we can do that, and here's how we can get you that insight and information. You know, as things evolve, we talked a little bit about product lifecycle. You know, we're a heavy company that will bring technology into an alpha phase, a beta phase, a release phase, and then evolve the release phase, you know, different times and different cycles. So, you know, we are constantly, you know, watching those different pieces and being able to track them. So when we're on a support call with a customer, we actually know that they had a beta product versus a release product,
right?
And being able to know and service that is really critical for us.
Yeah, and I would say too, the you know, business processes that end up supporting the end game, we try to not be too rigid, right? So our life cycle of products for a keypad and a camera will generally be the same.
Okay.
We try not to be too specific in how we, you know, release things. I mean, where we need to be, we are, but we've realized that pulling up and not being too specific or too rigid in other places has allowed us flexibility to deliver faster, move quicker. So there, I would say that there's points in time in life that maybe you feel like you're doing something in the system or approving something that is like, okay, this feels a little weird, but it makes sense when you're looking at the holistic picture. And the fact that we didn't make a lighting and a shade and a, you know, what have you, specific functions for every single, you know, product category. It obviously happens in engineering and in other places in the business, but when it really comes to how we take a product and deliver it, you know, to market, I would say we've been a little bit more flexible system-wise to allow for things to move quicker and change, you know, so quickly, daily.
So clearly, Angie, you have buy-in to what IT is doing. And it sounds like even at the leadership level, Savant just really believes that you need to be on the forefront. But do you find, Beth, that you have to justify the IT investment? Like, are you constantly bringing back any type, or is it just, it's known at the leadership level that this has to get done, that this is vital?
Okay. It's known.
Okay.
It's known, it is a battle. Like, anybody that is running a business and going through it's always a battle to demonstrate value in that relationship, right? And I think that sometimes we're in that space of how do we make sure that we're demonstrating value with this unique approach, right? And especially as we've, you know, sometimes you get in your own little world and, you know, we think things are, what'd you call it, normal. And then, you know, we've done, as a company, we've gone through large acquisitions, we've gone through different kinds of business model changes, and you look outside yourself and you realize, oh wait, this is actually a pretty unique model that we've built. And sometimes those outside forces will challenge you to say, hey, have we done a good thing? Have we, you know, done that? So I do think it's a constant battle to demonstrate that value.
Yeah, I think that the business just understands, because in addition to the products we're delivering, like, you know, we've mentioned, there are technologies that we're also delivering to the customers. You know, the dealer portal, and, you know, what Angie's kind of alluded to and talked a little bit about, and what one of our B2B customers has access to, it's just another product. It's a digital product. And so I do think that, you know, leadership and top down, they understand that some of what is being delivered to the customer doesn't just lie in black boxes or speakers or what have you. There's also these digital experiences that are really drawn up from the get-go, you know, and delivered by the IT teams. And there's a value and an importance in those products that we're delivering as much as there is the hardware as well.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to wrap with one last question here. So clearly you have a very strong partnership between business and IT at Savant, but you've probably been at positions, different companies, different people, where the partnership hasn't quite been as strong. What do you recommend for, whether it's IT leaders or business leaders, how should they build that bond to just make it a very productive relationship?
Advice?
Communicate. Talk to each other. Trust. Yeah, I really think it's... I think our approach and understanding, we all really needed to be on the same page in order to deliver the best solutions for our customers, was just readily recognized, you know, pretty early on, and has allowed us to really build that. So don't put silos where you don't need them. Don't be afraid of moving someone who's doing something really well into another position to gain knowledge that might help that person progress even more than he or she was somewhere else. Empower.
Well, I think empower. I think, you know, not only we talked about his best background, got, you know, kind of variability across the business, but her team members, we've been able to say, hey, you really understand what it means to be tech support or customer support. How can you be a subject matter expert for this experience? And I think you've really leaned on that subject matter expert model to say, hey, help us scope and drive this so that we actually deliver something that benefits our 82 support agents, not something that they look at one day and go, what IT team dreamt this up that was gonna be valuable to us, right? And so we find that all the time. Absolutely. Is like, hey, what drove that? So I'd say, you know, that's been critical, you know, to our success. The other, you know, comment I have is just, I think you have to re-envision what IT is, you know, and I think, you know, as you look at companies across the space, it's almost like IT is not even a fair description of what it is that you're providing. And so sometimes we really think about what our IT team is doing as more business operations than it is IT. I mean, do we have to all have computers that function? Yeah, okay. You know, do we have to, you know, there are the essentials that and deal with our privacy and security. Yeah, we have all those same issues that every other company has, but I think we've been able to think about our IT team as a business ops team, and being able to do that has been important for us. So I think some of it's also a mind shift around how we do things.
Excellent. Well, I really appreciate that advice. I think it's very sound. Angie, Beth, thank you so much for hosting me. Thank you so much for taking some time to share your insights. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Platform Rules, Digital Transformation for Product Companies. You can listen to this show and more at propelsoftware.com/podcasts. If you enjoyed what you heard, please share with a colleague, leave a review, or email us at podcast@propelsoftware.com with any feedback or questions. Until next time, Platform Rules.